In the name of Jesus. This evening, God will send us fire. He will send us fire. A heightened level of passion. A heightened level of zeal. An intensity. A flame. He will send fire this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Tap those people that are drunk. Tap them. It's not time to be drunk yet. Amen. Just for the purpose of notification, there are a few of us that will have to hold a critical meeting after this service on very deep issues in the body of Christ.
This mic is better.
Jesus. So,
to this end, Apostle Gideon, Apostle I,
Hallelujah.
Prophet Ezekiel, Prophet Undebisi. So after this service, let's just go straight to my office. Anytime we finish, that's when we have finished. Then tomorrow, the point men, we are going to have our meeting after the evening service. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, you said that when Elijah set up the altar, arranged everything, put up that ancient altar of yours that was broken down at the time of the evening oblation, that the heavens were rent and you answered by fire. Tonight, we are at the time of the evening oblation. Rend the heavens. Rend the heavens. Rend the heavens. And come down. Walk into our midst tonight. Let everything that you have not planted be rooted and be burnt off. Elitoma abrande soso mihede. Your fiery glory, your fiery presence, burnings, and flames of fire. Tonight, rend the heavens and come down. Now, just in case you came here and there are several things in your womb, like fibroid, anything that resists conception, all that stuff, fire, we burn it. Fire, we burn it. Send us fire tonight. Send us fire tonight. So that as your servants leave this place back to their domain, let them go back as flames of fire. For you make it your angels, spirits. You make your ministers flames of fire. Tonight, answer. Answer by fire. Amen. Ah, answer by fire. Amen. Answer by fire. Amen. Answer by fire. Amen. Answer by fire. Amen. Answer by fire. Answer by fire. I'm already seeing an angel of the Lord is tapping somebody's tummy. He's tapping the tummy. Oh my, are you kapante? Answer by fire. For thou will light our candle. The Lord will enlighten our darkness. He will go round and he will begin to light the candles. For the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He will put light, he will put fire on your spirit, man. Jesus. Give you glory. Thank you, Lord. You have the right of way to interrupt this meeting at any point that you intend, oh God, to begin to appear to your people, to begin to renew your covenant with your people at any point in time that it pleases you to set foot on the land. To set foot on the hearts of men, you have the right of way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. You may be seated. God bless you. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Psalms 110. This is the scripture that God gave me for this meeting. Psalms 110. As we just flow with him tonight. Through the revelatory powers of David, we are able to envisage the visual environment of heaven, from whence a policy direction was effected to launch a revival upon the face of the earth. You know, revival begins in the heavens. It begins in the throne room. And the story of revival is from the throne room to the upper room, to the classroom, then room to room. Now, we are trying to capture what exactly happened in the throne room that led to the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. Several issues were at stake, and through prophetic insight, David was able to download to us the private whispers that took place between the Father and his Son. Psalms 110. I'd like us to look at it. Every time revival takes place, this is the scenario that originates it. I can't hear your sound there. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. At this point in time, Jesus had fulfilled and satisfied the claims of divine justice. He had already established the legal premise for our redemption. And upon his return, he was assigned an office in the spirit, the office of the Christos, the administrator of the purposes of God. Sit thou at my right hand. We have talked about the right hand, the position, the place of the right hand. It's a kingdom designation that has to do with administration. So Jesus was assigned an administrative portfolio in heaven upon his return after satisfying the claims of divine justice. It is that office that he was assigned that is going to be the basis of the life source of the church. You know, the Bible says it was Jesus that was trying to educate us about the building enterprise that God was involved in the book of Matthew chapter 16. When he told Peter that upon this rock, upon this rock, I will build my church. That means he was engaging in a building project, just like Philip, the tetrarch, who was a civil engineer, was building Caesarea. So I'm also doing building work. I'm also into construction. I'm not Julius Berger, but I'm building something that is spiritual, just like the tetrarch is building something that is physical. And before Jesus began to speak about building, they traveled from east to west. And Jesus was mute until he came to a place that the visual environment gave itself out to building and construction. He says, upon this rock, upon this revelation that you have given, the access point, it means that in order for you to build, you will need to have a revelation of the workings of that office that Jesus was assigned to when he came back to heaven. Because there were two strands to the revelation that Peter declared. First of all, he said, thou art the Christ, the office. He said, thou art the Son of the living God, the person, the definition of God, the clearest and the most significant definition of God that ever manifested in scripture was Jesus Christ. And so two things were captured in the great confession of Peter. The office from whence all life derives. That is the office that Jesus was assigned upon his return to heaven after he had fulfilled the legal aspect of the requirement of our salvation. He said, now your ministry is now administrative. You will need to sit in this office. And as you sit in this office, you orchestrate the supply of the Spirit of grace into each and every functionary and every vessel in every territory so that they can have ample capacity and ample empowerment through the release of God's grace to be able to prosecute the mind of God part time. So we cannot talk about revival without talking about the function of that office that Jesus was assigned to. Meanwhile, the gossip between the Father and the Son was that when you are seated here, some other, it will be my own responsibility to ensure that your enemies are brought at your feet. You have done the part that you need to do. Give us the legitimacy to bring the organics, the organic dimension of this thing that you have procured to bring it to pass. You have given us the legitimacy. So sit in an administrative office and I will make your enemies bow at your feet. That was the arrangement. That was the whisper that David was given the opportunity through revelation to listen to. Now, the next thing you ask is, if Jesus is no longer going to be an active participant in this battle that will make the enemy submit, how on earth does the Father intend to bring to pass this intention of his? Verse 2 now captures that. I'd like us to see the layout first before we go deeper. Is it that the thing is not entering the speaker? Is that your challenge? I know only one way to fly, just one. I was not taught many ways. But this is a good night to fly. Now, so anything you need to do to get that sound flowing in this speaker, this will aid flight. How does God intend to bring the enemies? Jesus is no longer going to be an active participant in the scheme of things because he was assigned a throne, an office, an administration. If you study your Bible critically, you'll find out that the center of the kingdom of God is the government of God. And the center of the government of God is the throne of God. That's where your calling came from. That's where your ordination came from. It was that throne that decreed you an evangelist. It was that throne that decreed you a prophet. And when the throne decreed you a prophet, this office of the Christ was the one that made the allocation of the Spirit of grace to equip you sufficiently in order for you to flow in the capacity of the office to which you have been released into on the strength of the authority of the throne. The center of the kingdom of God is the government of God. And the center of the government of God is the throne of God. And that's why on the island Patmos, when John was summoned to heaven, the first place he appeared was the throne room. That's the center and the circumference. It's from that point that all government in the kingdom of God derives. That was the throne to which Jesus was assigned. Sit here. I'm going to make your enemies become your footstool. So the strategy is in the book of Psalms 110. Verse 2. The Lord shall strengthen the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. So in keeping with the intention of the Father, the rod of his strength has to leave Zion. And when we talk about the rod of his strength, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the power that is in God. We have to leave Zion to go into the earth, to become functional upon the face of the earth on the strength of the fact that the Father had made a promise to the Son. Meanwhile, there is also a policy that governs the operation of the Spirit of God when he comes into the earth. He has not just come into the earth just for coming's sake. There is a policy that guides his activity, and the policy is, statement is, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So the Holy Spirit actually came here to establish a government. Rulership. He did not come to make friends. He came to rule. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. When you are admitted into the school of the Spirit and you begin to find a path of spiritual progress, one of the things that you will be exposed to is the lordship of the Spirit. The mandate that he came to implement was a mandate of rulership. You know, it was Jesus that said, the Lord, The Lord is that Spirit. One of the interpretations you can bring from that scripture is that the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, is the same as the Holy Spirit. The same assignment, the same work. You'll be right. Another interpretation you can bring to that scripture is that the Lord is that Spirit means that the Spirit of God is Lord. He's a Lord Spirit. Now, a Lord Spirit is a King Spirit. A King Spirit is different from a Servant Spirit. You see, you can invoke a Servant Spirit. You can invoke, Ogugu. Because by his ordination, even when he was in light, before he fell, he was a service functionary. Because the Bible says that he maketh his angels. He maketh them what? Spirits. He maketh his messengers. Flames of what? Fire. So by design, they are messenger spirits. So if you want to summon a messenger, say, Kai! So even when they fell into darkness, notice, are you still with me? You are not with me? Okay, let me digress and go somewhere else. You see, Lucifer, for instance, his place, his domain, one of his places of ministry, apart from the fact that he was a guardian of the earth, in the old earth, he was the guardian of the earth. In addition to that, he had duties in Zion. He was the chief worshiper in Zion. And the Bible reveals that he used to walk up and down, to and fro, in the midst of the coals of fire. Now, see, in heaven, there are coals. There are coals. When he walks in it, the purpose of that fire is to purify. As he walks in it, his vessel is purified. And then he glows like light. That's how he got that nickname, Lucifer, the light bearer. The Bible reveals that in this creature, music is built into him. For the Bible says that in his framework were the workmanship of tablets and of pipes. That is to say, the Bible also says he was a guardian cherub, like a bodyguard. Now when the glory of God begins to shine, he goes to protect it. The Bible also says that he was an anointed cherub. So as he was carrying out that assignment, he could discern the mood of God through that anointing. So the kind of sound he brings was a function of his capacity to discern God's mood. There are some songs you sang yesterday, it moved. If you sing it today, you might be crippled. That is, if you are deeply in the presence, he might strike you because you are out of sync with his current appearance. He changes his appearances. And maybe when you step into the heavenly environment, the person you saw today can be totally different from the personality you saw yesterday, because he can appear today and he appears as a friend. And then he touches you. Say, "Kai, sorry for the backache. Sorry for it." And then you say, "Ha." So you can be like this. Don't take that for granted. Because tomorrow he can appear and he's a king. And then you are trying to say, "What about Makodi? What about?" He's telling you something else. If you try three times and it doesn't work, keep quiet. Because his mood has changed. But this anointed cherub has the capacity to discern the mood of God and to bring sound that was consistent with that mood. Are you with me? But as he does these things, he walks up and down. He walks to and fro, oscillatory motion, in the midst of the coals of fire. Notice what happened when he fell. And God was asking him how his journey was. He said he was still walking up and down and to and fro the earth. So he maintained the oscillatory motion even though he was no longer in Zion. Did you get that? Okay. Now, demons are service spirits. They are service spirits. So even when they fell, they still maintain the orientation. That's why an Ezemo can do enchantment and summon them. You can summon service entities. But the Bible says the Lord is that spirit. He's the only one you can summon because he's king by himself.
He will only move because he chose to move. And every movement of his is actually a manifestation of his nature. The more you encounter him, the more you begin to know his nature. In fact, his laws derive from his nature. Have you ever cried before? You cried, you wept. And he didn't show up. He is king. You know, we teach about prayer. We never say how long you need to pray. Because there's only one that answers prayer. He can refuse to respond to that prayer point in your lifetime. And he will still be God. Remember, he doesn't need an election to continue. You see, our estimation of God is little. The fact that your prayers are answered doesn't mean you have become a superman. Maybe you know God very well. If you know how much we don't know, you'll be humble. I assure you, I've seen things in the spirit that are not in the scripture. But I can't say them because I'll have no authority. But I've seen things. I've seen things in the scripture. I've seen things that are not in the scripture, that are in heaven. You can't summon him. So the best way to prosper with him is to learn his ways. Oh, this is how he operates. So you begin to tune yourself, adjust yourself to accommodate his operation because he's King Spirit. Now, you see, you can't send him on an errand, but you can find out where he's going and you follow him. Allow him go first and then you can follow behind. And if you are admitted into the school of the Spirit, you will realize that you begin to master his ways when you acknowledge his authority. Because the Bible says that the Lord is what? The Spirit is the Lord. And so the Bible says that when he was dispatched from heaven, he was dispatched with a policy in view. A policy of government, a policy of rulership, a policy to operate as a monarch. If you have not known this, you will not allow him be Lord. And if he's not Lord in your vessel, he's not powerful in you. Because Jesus has the capacity to sleep in a vessel, can sleep in a boat, and he snore in a tsunami. He can sleep and snore in your life. And even though terrible things are happening to you, he's sleeping in a pillow. Hallelujah. So Jesus knows how to sleep. So maybe he has slept off in your own experience. But thank God for Peter. They found ways to revive him. Anytime you acknowledge him as Lord, in any context, he revives. When you just acknowledge the fact that you are insufficient and you turn the responsibility to him. Oh Lord! He will hear that from his deep sleep and he will shake. He will shake. He came on a policy. A policy of dominion. A policy of rulership. Can you see that dominion is not of earth? Dominion is in the spirit. The dominion mandate, we cannot function in it and implement it in the flesh. It's in partnership with the true governor, the Holy Spirit, that was sent with a policy. A policy of what? Of rulership. You might stand at the borders of Port Harcourt and see the effect of occultism and the occult. I hear now that in Port Harcourt, the graveyard is a noisy place. That's where the occult people meet. And they shout in the graveyard. Those days, the dead were allowed to rest. But in Port Harcourt, there's no rest for the dead. And you look at how far darkness has gone in the city. And you begin to say, what can we do? No, you don't know the Holy Ghost. It's not about you. He came with a mandate from heaven. Yes, there is a promise that was made to Jesus in the chambers of glory. That the prophet was allowed to hear. Whispers. 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 Jesus was told to sit. And that declared, that unveiled, unleashed the error
of the Spirit.
And the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. If I had known this earlier on, maybe I would have prospered more with the Holy Ghost. Because I was full of ambitions, I was full of ideas, I was very, very creative. I had plans I wanted to achieve, because those days our pastors told us, dream, and in addition to that, dream big. Whereas people could ask for BMW and Mercedes Benz, I was asking for the moon. We were told to dream large, dream big. And I remember those days, one day after faith class, they say, if English means anything, the Bible says, whosoever can get whatsoever. I say, Jesus. You have heard my story. I went to a car shop and said, they will not sell this car until I get the money. That was the first car they sold. I call Marceli Mokori. I spoke by all the faith in my system. He failed. So I had to leave preaching and go and look for God. Before I become ashamed. Then I found out that the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord. Those days we used to boast with our academic prowess, our capacity. We used to tell our classmates that they were cursed. Their comprehension, SMO was working on them. And God was looking at the boy. How can we use this? How can we use this? Thank God for Aboho. There was one man called Aboho. If you come to the class and you don't study properly, we were terrorists. And God allowed us to fail. Fail when prayer could no longer raise the GP. Why was he taking us through all of this? So that we could understand that the only way we could connect with this one that came with a mandate of rulership was when we acknowledge him as what? Lord. It took a lot of fight, a lot of contention. Because the next verse you are going to see that even though the Holy Spirit comes with a mandate to rule, he cannot rule alone in a three-dimensional world. He will need to partner with humankind. And that's why the next verse says that people shall be willing. Not every day, in a certain day, in the day not of your power. Not in the day when you are elected as the governor of Plateau State. No, not in the day of your power, but in the day of his own power. It means that when the Holy Spirit comes down to partner with a man, there is a day in view. Darkness can be allowed to torment you until that day. That day is the day when you acknowledge the lordship of the Spirit of God, and you decide to surrender your ambitions. Surrender. It's a critic. It's a surgery. That day is a day of suturing. It's a day of surgery. It's a day of death, and it's a day of life. I pray you find that day in your experience. For thy people shall be willing. They will surrender. They will be ready to sacrifice, because when the Spirit of God begins to make a demand on you, you will know that his demands are higher than mortal demands. One guy was in 2:1. He was in 4.4. And the lecturer wanted to drill him so that if he gives him a first class, he'll be worth his salt. And they took him through all kinds of rigors in his project and all of that. It went into areas that were not related to his line of study, just so that he can be a Dexter. Listen, the expectations of the Holy Spirit is much more than the lecturer. In fact, the Bible reveals that Jesus was able to offer himself without spot. There was only one way he could offer himself. It was by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that carries the meter and the parameter of what heaven can accept. And the extent to which it will put a burden upon you is not such that your flesh can sponsor. Then you will know there's little you can do in the flesh. You have to allow him. He's the one that puts the body. He's the one that imparts the ability for you to be able to prosecute the body. He will take you beyond the ability of mortal man. He said, thy people shall what? In order for him to take the center stage and be God of all, because if he's not God of all, he's not God at all. He first launches a death experience. Because the scope of the experiences that we can have are already captured in the experience of Christ. The scope. In Christ, there was a death. That means we are going to experience death. Death to anything that is not of the new creation. And that's why as Paul grew in the kingdom, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That is part of our experiential allocation, because that was how Jesus authored our salvation. So there's an experiential package that is in our allocation that is death inducing. Everything that has its origin in the old creation, that injection will have to come upon it. It will have to wither. I had plans. I had ambitions. I had, oh my God. And the discipleship I was receiving was helping me feed the plans and feed the ambition. Oh, Jesus, I dreamt. They say dream. I really dreamt. But I found a force that was stronger than my will at work in my life, of which I was not educated. I tried to do the things they taught me, but I could not excel in them. Then I found out that one of the greatest discoveries that you ever have is to be able to see the hand of God working in your life. Many people don't discern his hand. They don't know he's the one. They think he's a demon. Meanwhile, if the Holy Spirit finishes his work of injecting that death experience into your civilization, the ground upon which those altars in the village would have had to make you a specimen that is still within the scope of their relevance, he will undo those things through his dealings. Now, let me give you an idea. There are some manipulations, witchcraft manipulations, that will hold on your life if you are given to pride. And that's the trigger. It doesn't matter whether you are born again or not, but if you are from that particular family where that kind of priesthood is carried out and you are still walking in pride, there are some. Just check the area that the Holy Spirit deals with you most. It has to do with grounds that will provide palliatives for princes. You know that that demon is called principality. Pality means territory. It means he's a prince without a territory. That's who the devil is. He doesn't have a territory. He doesn't have a place to implement his authority until you create one for him, or a covenant creates a platform for him. Did you get that? And so for the kind of orchestrations that were taking place in my family, pride was the platform. And that pride was anchored. You see, I come from a long line of scholars. They believe they know. So you should naturally be the top of the class. And if you are not the top of the class, the way they will deal with you and insult you, you look like an outcast. You will do something about the situation. You don't understand what I'm talking about. But the great one had to kill that thing. So at some point, because I had no proof to show that I was intelligent, nobody will reckon with my opinion. It was part of the death pill. so that you will not have confidence in any other thing apart from the governor. The Holy Ghost will never be powerful in your life until he becomes governor. And even though there's pressure for you to make a choice, you know you can't prosper without him being the one making that choice. You have to subscribe to him. You have to hear him speak. You are falling in love already in the market. You fell in love without consulting. And then you go for 5 years and then they will break your heart. Then you come to pastor. Pastor is always the last resort. It's an affliction to be called. It's an affliction. Fell in love by the roadside. They won't tell you then. He's now crippled. They want pastor to raise the dead. By the time you are dislocated one or two times, wisdom will begin to minister to you. That is not wise to continue in the circle. There is a Lord you need to subscribe to. The fallen man will not naturally subscribe to that Lord. But all the time we wrestled with the Holy Ghost was wasted. If we had just yielded initially, all of those trouble would have reduced. Tonight we need to yield. Thy people shall be what?
Willing.
He needs to partner with people. His presence coming upon the lives of men is designed to bring them to a point of willingness. That's when they can appreciate his government, his operation, the supply of his spirit. That's when you can say like Paul, it's not of him that will it. What I'm doing does not originate from me. It's not of him that run it. Everything you see is an expression of the God of mercy. That's a man that has gone through the death tonic. He only glories in one thing, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, so those experiences continue like that, and the time of surrender was reached. At least surrender to a level that God could now work with me. That was when my prayer became powerful. Your prayer will not be powerful until you arrive surrender. I could not even pick the voice of God because I've not arrived there. He came to establish a government. And until you are in alignment with that government, you may not experience his influence, its power. Let's continue the reading. I'm going somewhere. We saw all this before the conference began. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, the beauties of their separation. The beauties of their separation. Now listen. When you acknowledge and accept the government of the Spirit of God, what he will do is that he's going to suck you into himself. The desires you had before, maybe you were a soccer fan and you were a fan of Chelsea. You used to bet and all those kind of stuff. As it begins to suck you in gradually, we're not saying stop, just acknowledge the Holy Ghost in your life. It will begin to suck you in gradually. Because the reason why he needs to do that is so that no other thing in this world will be able to lay claim to your soul. You must have only one idol in your soul, because your soul is a vast island. It's a vast island where many temples can be erected. Temples unto many gods. Or you must have read the Old Testament and you have heard the doctrine, the theology of the high places. Those high places of Israel. The islands that can host them. They're actually in your soul. The devil wants to possess your soul with something. And if he is able to possess your soul with something, that thing will drive your life. You will receive inspiration from that thing. Your life will become a vessel after the order of that thing. For instance, if Mammon possesses your soul, Mammon will give you inspiration. Mammon will give you ideas. You become a creature that is forged after the image of Mammon. And so, the Holy Spirit has to suck you in so that you have only one desire, which is a desire to
to know him.
Now, many of you have come from various places with different schools of thought. You were taught that the goal of the Christian is to ride a car, marry a wife. And that's what you have been running after for the past few years. But we kingdom people, we have only one obsession. And that is God. And then as we begin to walk with God, God now knows that what he has committed to you needs a car to move you around. He gets you the best car for the season. So we still ride cars, but the place and the meaning of that car in our life is different from the meaning that that car has in the life of somebody else. For us, it is a tool that we need to prosecute our divine purpose. And if God permits that we have a jet, we serve such a purpose, he will bring us into the level of stature where we will handle just the way we handle our cars today. Hallelujah. It's 5 hours to Kenya from Lagos. 3 hours from Nairobi to Lilongwe. We can do that in one day and come back. It's just like going to Gombe, from Abuja. You will spend more time going to Gombe. I've gone to Lusaka to cast out devils from the president and to baptize him in water. Hallelujah. God will bring us to that level. But you know what? We are satisfied with the Holy Ghost because we have found security in him. A man that doesn't find security in God will serve other gods. Anything that comes to appeal to you, you are likely to subscribe. But if you find men that are already shaped and formed, there was a time where they evaluated every other thing and they found none as faithful as God. That is why they have remained with him. So he keeps sucking you into the spirit. Sucking you into the spirit. Until you have no other confidence apart from him. Until you have no other wisdom apart from him. Unknown to you what he has achieved, if that is where you have arrived in on the path of spiritual progress, is that he has separated you unto himself. Spirits are jealous beings. If you find someone that is a victim of the Marine Corps, they won't want to release you to go. They believe you know too much about their secrets and they don't have any plan to review their curriculum. The same ancient curriculum that they have been using that is still in force till now. So if you have gotten some insight into their plans, it's a great expo. So they'll be looking for a way to ensure that you are not totally free. It is not only those spirits, evil spirits that are like that. Baba is like that too. The Bible calls him a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you with somebody. And that is good for you. Because if you are doing private practice somewhere else, the devil will be able to gain some level of authority over your life. And that is an insult to the chief spirit that you claim to subscribe to. So the only way to profit with him maximally is to be separated unto him. Whereas we have the ability to serve other gods. We have the ability to fornicate. We have the ability to steal. We have the ability to lie. But we have decided that the only spirit that we have expression to our vessel is the Holy Ghost. We are separated unto him. And we only do such as he wants us to do. Our bodies will not be used for something else. It is all together his property. And if he decides that we should not preach for 2 years, we will stay aside. We are separated unto him. He will define what we are and what we are not, what we can do and what we cannot do. A man that is not separated unto God is vulnerable. The kingdom of darkness can cut him off at his prime. The Bible is saying that if you are separated unto God, there is a beauty you exude. A beauty. A beauty that is so beautiful that unbelievers can see. In the entire context, the entire setup, this is the way they do it. And then a man that is separated unto God just appears. At first, they will be trying to ridicule you, to call you names like Jew, to see if this thing you are doing, you were taught in Bible study, or it is your lifestyle. Because if you are taught in Bible study, it's cerebral. If they put pressure on you, you will change. But if it's your lifestyle, it's built into the fabric of your reality. If they want you to change, it means they need to kill you. Because if you live, this is how you will live. And then over time, then I say, the guy is not faking it. This is how he is. And then that your conviction becomes the basis of people's torture under the hand of the Holy Ghost. Because there's a beauty that comes from separation to God. There's a beauty that comes from allegiance to God. There's a beauty. That's a beauty. I don't know about you, but I've had this testimony in my own little estate. Somebody watching my life for 2 years in the office. This person I'm telling you about is not a Christian. It's actually an imam. So he gave me a lift. He said, "Pastor, I heard that some of my members have told me that you know the future. We say things and they happen. So I carried you today so that if you have anything to tell me." I said, "Well, I don't know the future. But I know the God that knows the future. And if he chooses to reveal the future to me, why not?" I said, "Okay, ask him to reveal my own future." I said, "That I can do." When I went back home and I knelt down, God opened my eyes. Surprisingly, he was not supposed to open it, but he opened it that day. And I saw that the imam wanted to marry a fair lady. She was 19 years old. She was the daughter of a governor. And he wanted to do that deliberately to score political points, so that eventually he could use that cloud to break out. But I saw that if he marries that fair lady, his family will be scattered. So I went back. We came for a operational meeting. I said, "I saw." "So you saw?" He took me to one side. "You want to marry a fair lady at 18? He shouted before he knew he had shouted. He said, "Don't talk again. We'll still use my car to go home." He now told me that, "But I've gone far. His old father, he has brought him from that side for introduction. And all the waziri." He had gone far. He said, "Go back to your God. Ask him if there is no way that we can. You know, these things, there are some ways." Then I came back and said, "I didn't see any way." But he said, "Pastor, I've gone far." "What do you mean by, have you married?" Said, "But no, I have gone far." He said, Just pray for me. I said, "Your family will be scattered." And the family was scattered. There is a beauty that comes from separation. God knows how to make you shine for people to see the light. He knows the kind of good works that will reveal his glory. You know, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good." He knows how to do that. But that kind of light will only shine from a vessel that is beautiful, separated. We have seen all the vanities that this world has to offer. But we choose Jesus. That slow, secluded life. We choose it. That's the choice we have made in order for us to partner with the governor
that came down with the policy, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness. The next statement is, from the womb of the morning. The beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. One of the first things that comes from the womb of the morning is the dew, the morning dew. And there are several plants that are so fragile that require the morning dew to prosper. There are several plants that do not need rain. They need the dew to water them and bring refreshing. There are several places that the purpose of God is fragile. It needs the dew. So God says, the dew of the morning will be required. You know, it was Pastor that said, seeking the Lord early means seeking Him in the morning and seeking Him early in life. All right? Now, the dew of your morning actually means seeking Him early in life. He will use that your early seeking to water revival. That is why He now added the dew of your youth. Thou hast what? The dew of your youth. Because every revival began with young people. There are several things you cannot do when you become 60. You cannot be the point man for territorial revival in your village. How many people have you seen, old men, have you seen with burdens to bring down the altar or the village? So this is the time for revival. We need to give God the dew of our lives. That dew is a refreshing that flows out of the beauty of separation. And with that dew, God can heal parched lands and parched territories and parched places and bring out life where there was death. I have one prayer that I want to pray before I sit down. Just one prayer. That God will send fire. 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 This fire, it will burn off sicknesses, burn off many things, but your spirit will be kindled. Fire. He will send fire. In the next 3 minutes, He will send fire. I have a testimony. On campus, we began to pray. The prayer lasted for 2 academic sessions. That's 4 semesters. And as we were praying every day, even on exam days, prophecies began to come that God wanted to send a revival. We started seeing those things, those people crying, coming. People, all kinds, we started seeing that. Then we started seeing miracles, healings. Even someone that gave his life to Christ yesterday, God baptized the Holy Ghost today, began to prophesy today. And the prophecies were not just, I am in your midst, I am in your midst. Very deep prophecies. You will see people get born again today and they start ministry today. Evangelism. You will see all kinds of things. That was how it began to happen on campus. I mean, these guys we're talking about, people we're preaching to were cultists, were terrible people. They were giving their life to Christ. And then in the night on the tennis court where we were doing Holy Ghost bartending, because people come there to drink Holy Ghost. You know, just like people in the US, people go to the bar and say, give me a shot of wine. I was the man behind the counter serving Holy Ghost to people, to cultists. Some kind of Holy Ghost that even runs the stomach. When you... I was one of the bartenders. And this thing continued.
there was the capon of black axe then was Jadon. Jadon. They poisoned him somewhere. I don't know where they poisoned him. When they brought him to campus, they take me to pastor's room. It was my room that they brought. When I interrogated him after, he said, "We die." I said, "You won't die. You won't die. You won't." He now revived. He now said, "Pastor, my mother is deeper life." His mother is deeper life, and he was Jadon. I don't know what glory came on me that time, but common room was placed for smoking. When I come to common room, people hide their secret. Am I their father? People could not smoke where I was. And that was my own testimony. Other people too had testimonies of how their presence brought conviction. All kinds of things began to happen on campus. It happened intensely for one semester. Before we came the next semester, Ezemo had raised altars that, and there was this great division among us. We could not sustain it. The thing was still happening that semester, but the problem was we were immature. So why were you the one that led the prayer? Is it that you felt, I will not go into details, but I saw revival. I saw revival. I saw people in the hostel that died, that we prayed for, that they came back to life. Not because we were nothing. We prayed for them. They came back to life. There was one guy, fell on the steps, and they brought him to my room. I said, "Put him on my bed." Aya. Kaba, 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 kaba. Bam! The guy showed up. And those things happened consistently. I don't know where that anointing went, but it was there that time. Death? No! That's when we come back. I know meetings we went for. Holy Spirit say, "You know the way you worship me, just raise your hand." And we came down under power and could not stand up. Wait. There were detailed prophecies that were spoken that time, 25 years into the future. When we go for night vigil, we don't know when we'll stop. From 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock before the Holy Ghost will go. The Holy Spirit used to walk into our midst like a man, a human being. God was not concealed. We saw him many times. And when the revival was about to go, I was praying in technical block by 5 a.m. He came and hugged me and left. But he told me, "I will come again." He hugged me. Jesus was a human being that was walking. He hugged me at technical and said, "I will come back again." The signs I have seen. He wants to come back. Early when I was posted here in my sitting room, he came and said, "You know why I can't come back?" He showed me Jatoka, showed me an altar there, showed me two other places. There's blood. He came to my sitting room then. He hugged me before he left. I've seen him in my visions come back. But today, you will receive fire. Can, anywhere you are, standing, sitting, you can ask him for fire. He walked in our midst. There was a sense of blazing holiness. Everyone was afraid of his presence. Sumbria la combesa mai da cobrine.
Amen. Asile. Sombre de que la bala mama bade. Hosene, hosene. Raske mana ambelae. He came to the spirits and said, he will return. I've worked for many years with that hope that he will return. I prayed in the morning with that hope that he will return. I kept watching the night many times with that hope that he will return. I am almost a lamine cabale. Send Nalia Mamma. Yes, I'm opre. Some opre. Some malabella. Yamma echo samina. Oh. He promised us that he will return. Now I want to remind him of what he said many years ago. Return, return, that we might look upon you. Sadiko Korea Mama. Give a praise. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Before I sit down, listen. He told me he will come. He gave me 6 signs of what will happen in the city of Makurdi before he comes. The last 5 of them have come to pass. I used to announce it here. 5 of them, many more. And this is a season for the 6th one to come to pass. So he said we should announce a revival. We shall proclaim it. And when we proclaim it, he will begin to come. So what I want to do is just to remind him of what he said many years ago. Then I hand over the mic. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we have waited for 16 years. 16 years after you spoke and said you will come. This is the 16th year. And you said we should proclaim a revival. Because you will begin to descend from heaven with an entourage. You begin to come into our space and you will seize the lives of men. You will seize the lives of women. And a massive move of your spirit will begin. It is 16 years and we waited long. I ask, oh Lord, come. 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 And burn. Come. And burn. Come. And burn. 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 Burn like a fire.
Thank you.